Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time
Rich Eisen
absolute friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
With guest host Ben Lyons, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich. Huge fan. Love your show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks, brother.
The Rich Eisen Show. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
Welcome back to the show. Ben Lyons here hanging out for Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen Show. The show rolls on, hour number two. Little NBA hot stove rumors, hearing that the Pelicans are not going to offer restricted free agent Lonzo Ball an offer sheet, meaning he'll become an unrestricted free agent. And there's rumors that Los Angeles Clippers are looking for a point guard. Interesting. Lonzo Ball returns to LA, plays across the hallway from his old team. That'll be fun. I love NBA hot stove. All right. Very excited because tonight is the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Tomorrow night is the WNBA All-Star Game. But this weekend, the All-Star Game for the Premier Lacrosse League is going down in San Jose, July 18th, PayPal Park. And we're excited now to be joined on the show by co-founder, chief marketing officer, and midfielder for the PLL, which is just the greatest chyron. And the greatest title, I think, in sports today, Paul Rabel joins the show. What's up, man? I love that title. Was that workshopped? Was there a memo sent about that?
I think it's too complicated, Ben, but I appreciate it. I think, in sports, we want things as digestible as possible. So, like, wait a second, this guy co-founded the league and he's playing in it? Doesn't sound right. So soon, I think it'll simplify.
I love it, man. I think it's such a nice flex at the end. And midfielder, because you're still out there doing work. Congratulations on the All-Star Game selection. I saw a quote from you talking about the experience this weekend up in San Jose for lacrosse fans and the game being held at PayPal Park. And you said it provides fans with a premium modern sports experience. What does that mean to you?
Well, a lot of the reason why we built our league structure under a tour-based model is that we knew that professional lacrosse had its upside and its opportunity because the game has been around for centuries, the Native American game, but it's been competed at the NCAA and youth level over the last 100 years at the highest level, continues to grow in participation. But to build a pro league from the ground up in a city-based format, you go after billionaire owners who can open up their own stadiums, and you look at the track, even in MLS, as the nearest standard. And that takes a lot of time. So instead of doing that, we looked at these MLS venues, for example, that have already been built over the last decade that have a bunch of vacancy during the summer. Why don't we just launch our league and play at these sites? So that's what people come to expect when they pay X amount of dollars for a professional sports event. Is the best in class, not only on field, but from an experiential standpoint on site.
Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. Paul Rabel joins the show. The Premier Lacrosse League All-Star Game is going down in San Jose this weekend. Do you look as the chief marketing officer at elements for all the All-Star Games and try to take little bits and pieces and maybe leave others behind to make your experience different and the best it can be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think All-Star Games, depending on the league, are becoming more and more exciting and in some cases most tuned in. The NBA All-Star Game, I think they do a great job. NHL experiments as well. I think the NFL is the one with the largest challenges. They don't have an All-Star Game. They have their Pro Bowl, and it kind of falls the week before the Super Bowl, and no one wants to play in it because it's so injurious in a way. But For us, we have a sport that's so stylistic in lacrosse. It's in the middle of our season, so we have the kind of mid-season standard all-star break. But we do things like tie up with a sponsor. In this case, we're getting ready to announce a big one that basically underwrites and sponsors all of the elements of the thing. So the ability to kind of sprinkle in action sports narrative to team sports, which you don't often see. Then we have our skills challenges where you can highlight fastest shot competitions where guys shoot the ball greater than 115 miles an hour. So speaking like universal language around what excites people and these like ridiculous feats that can be accomplished and bringing those to life in addition to just the run of play in a game.
You've got outside the box thinking when it comes to the marketing of the sport, but as you get older and continue to play the sport at a high level, what kind of outside the box thinking do you take on in your own life when it comes to your body, your training, your mental focus? Something tells me you're not taking on just the traditional course of training like some other athletes.
Yeah, it's hard. And so you learn how to adapt by force of nature and then sometimes by, having a good trainer, like intellectual curiosity. But forced by nature is a lot of times through injury. So I started getting injured a lot when I was 28, carried me through most of my early 30s. I'm 35 now, and the games are so contact-ridden that I spend most of my week just recovering. And that's different when I was first starting as a professional, where you spend the week between games sharpening your skill and really grinding, like improving your conditioning and strength. It just changes when you're older. It takes your body longer to recover. But at the same time, you spend more time in the mental gym and reviewing tape and trying to be smarter off ball and predict the future of plays. And that happens. We're seeing it with Chris Paul now, who's in some cases playing his best ball, even though I kind of grew up a couple years younger than him, watching him as a distributor and trying to emulate that to my own style in the lacrosse field. So it's pretty amazing when you see athletes playing in their 30s and play at the highest level.
Oh, are you kidding me? As someone in my 30s who had to like figure out a lifestyle approach just to wake up and do this show today to sit here and talk, and that threw a wrench in my day. I can't imagine you going across the middle. And the fact that you look at a guy like Chris Paul for inspiration or you take something from other athletes, I love the cross like sport athlete respect that you guys all share. And who are some other ones sort of out there in other sports that you try to take from them and bring it into your actual lacrosse game?
Well, I'll call out one in Tom Brady. So everyone talks about Tom and his skill and the position specific to quarterback, too, which is a little bit different. However, Tom's kids play lacrosse. They watch the PLL. I've gotten to build a relationship with him over the last couple of years, and he's constantly reminding me of, strip the commercial TB12 brand, but, like, the applications that he has there. And he's able to even listen to his interview on the shop a couple of weeks ago. He's able to really simplify it and to a degree almost calls it easy if you just stick with, the fundamentals of pliability and nutrition and hydration. And I think those are things we take for granted. I tell young kids now that are athletes, it's a lot like being a race car. If you have this incredible Lamborghini or Mercedes that's built for the F1 track and you're putting a bunch of regular fuel in it, you're not going to experience the damages you're doing to the car until a decade later, or maybe shorter. So you can still drive that thing as fast as possible. But if you're going to play the long game, be a professional athlete, you've got to do the premium fuel early or your body will break down. And I think we see that with a lot of athletes. No way to track it, right, to what they were doing as amateurs. But when they start breaking down in their early 20s and even late 20s, you start to wonder. So if you want to be a professional athlete, you've got to treat your body as a race car early and often and keep that regular fuel out of the tank.
Paul Rabil joins the show, the co-founder, chief marketing officer, and a midfielder in the Premier Lacrosse League. They're celebrating their All-Star festivities this weekend up in San Jose. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen. You can follow Paul on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere, at Paul Rabil. But I do want to talk to you about giving out game balls.
Yeah.
That's an intense moment, bro. That's an intense moment in that locker room for the players and for me watching it on your Instagram.
I mean, it's an intense moment. It's also one of the best moments because you're giving game balls out after wins. I think you're referring to that video I posted on my Instagram where I was in spandex and a catapult bra. And at first I was worried on uploading that people were going to dig for posting a video on my spandex, but people were really confused by the sports bra. And that's a tracking device, and we double it as a microphone device for our NBC partner in distribution. We have microphones all over the field, and some of them are hot, too, which is exciting and different in team sports, to your call out earlier around innovation on the broadcast. But yeah, I gave out 3 game balls in week 1. We won. We gave out some game balls this past weekend when we won in Minnesota. Haven't uploaded that video. Probably won't. but those are the best moments, man, when you're in the locker room with the boys and just experience the hard-fought win.
No, I think that post laid the foundation, because then 2 posts later when we see you chopping it up with Seth Meyers and you have no socks on, I'm like, okay, this makes sense now. He's the guy who wore the outfit from 2 posts ago. So I get it. How much fun do you have doing all this stuff to raise the Q score and get the game out there, and you're on NBC playing lax with Seth Meyers, who you probably grew up watching on Saturday Night Live? You got to have these moments where you're like, man, all the stuff on the field, I know it's taking a toll on my body right now, and I love it, but this stuff's kind of fun too.
I mean, it's a good reminder to take a moment and remind myself that what we're doing is a lot of fun. I mean, if you were to have told me a decade ago or more that I would still be playing professional lacrosse, but then you add on the fact that I would recreate and co-build the Premier Lacrosse League with my brother Mike and have the resources that we have and the investors that we have to try to change an industry, man, like I just would never have believed it. So I think the double-edged sword in life, and I know you grind, Ben, is like, we have this attention to detail and this focus on every moment, every day, that when good things happen, or hell, I never would have dreamed I'd be on late night with Seth Meyers. Like, you turn the page the next day because I have a game the following week and I'm focused on rehabbing my hamstring and can't really enjoy it. So these moments of recall are the times where I do. So maybe a lesson for myself to take it easy a little bit.
Well, I enjoy seeing you pop up and your Q score go through the roof, because I know you put in so much work and dedication, not only to your actual craft, but to the promotion of the game you love so much. And I think often of other athletes having to take that on in addition to just going out there and competing and trying to keep up with the next generation of players. It's really tremendous what you're doing. I saw a post on your Instagram where you were promoting, I think, the schedule release, and you had to shoot it to like the top corner. And it was just a subtle reminder that, hey, I'm not out here just like selling you guys this thing. I really do this. And I was just blown away by that. Talk to me about, just on like an X's and O's of lacrosse, the skill set from the next generation of players that you're going up against, and how it's maybe changed from when you started out your career.
I mean, just the schemes alone with the coaches in PLL have evolved so much that they're much different than what I grew up in college. So I feel like I'm the new learner, even with our coach right now on the offensive end, with these new hybrid offenses that have propped up because the game's popularized so much since I began playing, that the skill levels increase. So better athletes, they're playing longer and smarter at an earlier age, so the skill's higher. And with better athletes and better skill, you can try new schemes. So that's the natural progression that we see in pro sports, whether it's a logo shot in the NBA or, you know, different slot receivers taking on new roles in the NFL, or a quarterback playing when he's 43 years old. Like, that stuff happens through natural evolution. And we're seeing that in lacrosse. My job on the operating side and on the marketing side is to take a sport like lacrosse, which is much like hockey, where the skill is so intricate, it happens so fast in a small area, that to a non-lacrosse or non-hockey fan, you almost take it for granted. And so what you have to do is, on the broadcast with our partner at NBC, through social media and our producers and editors on the ground that have these unique slow-mo angles, is bring those to the forefront of the viewing experience so people can see not only the physicality of this sport. Like, these guys are cradling and getting hit with titanium sticks across their bare arms that leave bruises for weeks. They're able to tuck the stick and cradle it against that contact, dive across a crease, throw a fake in the air and shoot it short side past the goalie. That type of stuff, like, it's not going to get picked up on a 3-camera broadcast. So if we do more of that, then you can create more exceptionalism around a game that's still fairly new to the casual sports fan.
See, that's what I want to see in 8K, what you just described. Not some Phoenix Suns fan who's like peaking as the fourth quarter is starting.
Are you talking about the guy who was throwing those haymakers? Like, I was down with seeing that in 8K.
No, that guy. Yeah, no, that guy's a whole other thing. And the fact there's an action figure of that guy and there isn't one of you is just ridiculous. But just the like you said, the camera placement to see the incredible athleticism that's on display. But you make the comparison to hockey, and it's not just in that, but it's also the experience of going to the game. Like, I'm not a diehard hockey fan, but you give me some good tickets to go see the Rangers, like, I will have an awesome Friday night. So I love going to that. I'm looking at your schedule here. I'm looking at those Salt Lake dates. You know, my wife's from, her family's from just outside Salt Lake. So you've got the quarterfinals, I think, coming up in Utah. I might have to make my first PLL experience and get that under my belt.
No doubt. I mean, if we can get you to Utah, I'd love to host you. I try to think about every square inch in pro sports, the things that are great. Like you mentioned, going to a Rangers game at MSG, or what I think the best ticket in pro sports for the last decade has been courtside at an NBA game, because your feet are literally on the wood floor. And it's a dynamic experience seeing the same size court that we all played on in high school when we were 5'10 and 6 foot, occupied by 6'10 guys. And you're right next to them. And so it creates this larger than life experience. So we bring, field side seats to our game, all-star game this weekend, as you mentioned, at PayPal Park in San Jose. They have field suites. And so creating, like, not only a great in-game experience for fans, but getting them as close to the action as possible so they can feel the contact and feel the size of the athletes. One other thing I'll share is, like, even designing about design. The jerseys that our players wear are more resembling a Euro cut of an EPL or La Liga footballer, where they don't have this like big baggy nature that lacrosse players used to have. So you can see the tone of these athletes. You see their size better. So attention to detail and design and cut of jersey to the fan experience, or the way that we're distributing and capturing the game for broadcast, all that matters so much. And that's how we're growing the game really fast.
Promise me you'll leave out this one element of my fan experience. Despite being a Knicks fan my entire life and they're 20 games under 500, I still feel compelled to spend $800 to sit in the upper deck. Can we not do that anymore? Can we get that out of the game?
Yeah. We can promise that there's not an $800 nosebleed ticket. One of the better offerings that you get in professional sports is going to a PLL game on a price per square foot, I guess, or closeness to the action as possible.
Yeah, I tell people I get the Spike Lee seats, but they don't know it's the NYU Film School Spike Lee seats. It's not where he's sitting there as the president of the Cannes jury or whatever. The All-Star weekend, this weekend, the All-Star game, it's going down in San Jose. Paul Rabil, the co-founder, CMO, and midfielder for the PLL, joins the show. We appreciate you taking some time, man. Have fun up there and ball out.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me as always. Good to hear from you and continue to watch us on NBC.
I got to get out to Utah. I'm not just saying that for radio, man. I was looking at the dates. I got so excited because people who might not be familiar, you guys are kind of not a traveling circus, but you pop up in a city near you and you're on the go. And I was like, Utah, that makes sense. I might do that. So we'll be in touch.
I mean, we hosted our bubble in Utah in 2020, and it was incredible. So beautiful weather. Scenic, and those games will kick off playoffs, so they'll be super intense.
Good stuff. I'll give you a shout, man. I definitely will. Paul Rabil, thanks so much for joining the show. Have fun this weekend.
Appreciate you, Ben.
Paul Rabil from the PLL. Think about that. He founded the league. He's now the CMO. He's not just an ambassador. He's their chief marketing officer, and he's in the All-Star game at 35 years young. That dude is a beast, a friend of the show, and I'm very excited for the professional lacrosse scene to really get a boost of energy as he continues to do his thing. Check out at PLL on Twitter. Coming up next, the only Washington football, Boston Celtics, Pittsburgh Penguins fan I know. He joins the show next. It's Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ben Lyons here on the Rich Eisen Show. The show rolls on a Tuesday. Appreciate you rocking out with us. I'll be here all week. And then next week as well, we return to Peacock with Brockman and Del Tufo and the whole gang. TJ, it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to hanging out with the boys next week. Looking forward to Game 4 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. Weird schedule. Jared Greenberg from NBA TV yesterday was talking about how the entire NBA community covering the finals and the two teams will essentially be spending 8 days in Milwaukee in the middle of July, which sounds like the name of a strange novel. But 8 days in Milwaukee in the middle of July. That's like three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Maybe we'll win an Oscar. But this rest, this weird schedule, this two days off between games, I think really benefits both teams in a weird way, and not one team more than the other. You got to think Giannis with the hyperextension about 10 days ago or so, he's definitely going to be taking advantage of that extra day of rest and treatment. And then on the other side for the Phoenix Suns, you know, having Chris Paul get that extra day, I think is big at 36, had been banged up throughout this postseason. So I think both teams are going to benefit from the day of rest. I think Devin Booker is going to have a much bigger game four. I don't think he'll struggle again from the field. I think he'll be more aggressive at the start of the game. I think he'll get to the free throw line. And I expect the Phoenix Suns to win a tough, tight game. We haven't seen one of those this series. I feel like the first few games have been both teams kind of just feeling each other out. But now that things are going to start to get chippy, now you're going to see the intensity level raise up. I think Phoenix is going to be skilled enough to do this and get a tight one on the road in game four and then finish things up in the Valley on Saturday night and get this done in five. DeAndre Ayton has to stay out of foul trouble. That's key. We understand that now. And the others for Phoenix just got to give you something. Mikal Bridges can't go from 27 in game two to then four in game three. Reliability, consistency, can we count on you? Those are the things that are needed in order to achieve great things. Anybody can do it once. Anybody can bake a cake and follow the instructions and make something delicious. But can you do it the next night? Can you bake brownies? Can you bake a pie? What happens when you're cooking not in your kitchen? Can you still be a great baker? Can you still bake a great cake? That's what makes somebody great. So, Giannis, two 40-point games back-to-back? Incredible. But can you do it again? Can you do it in game four? Because that's what Milwaukee's going to need if they want to get it done. They're going to need another historic all-time performance from Giannis. I don't see a world where Milwaukee gets the win, Middleton goes for 30, Giannis gives you 22-11, and Drew Holiday has 26. Like, that's not going to happen. Giannis has to go for 40. They have to get 20-20 from Middleton and Holiday. And they have to hold the Phoenix others. That's the blueprint there. We're moments away from getting Peter Rosenberg. I know Raiders board op Art is trying to track down our friend Peter from Hot 97 and ESPN in New York. Plus, we're going to check in a little bit later on in the show with Scott Feinberg, who's out at the Cannes Film Festival covering it for The Hollywood Reporter. Does a wonderful job with his awards podcast. He runs it all year long, keeping track of the awards, races in Hollywood, which kick off. Already, Oscar season has kicked off here in July because the Cannes Film Festival is underway in France. So we'll check in with Scott. Plus, we've got Dominique Foxworth calling in to close out the show. We'll talk a little NFL, which teams are pretenders, serious contenders, and see if he agrees with me that the NFC West is the best division in all of football. But I want to get back to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Here's what Pete Alonso said after the game about his performance out in Denver.
I think I'm the best power hitter on the planet, and being able to showcase that and really put on a fun display for fans. I just think that it's truly a dream come true for me, because when I was younger, my parents actually let me stay up past my bedtime to watch this. Hi guys, thank you. So that was one of the few nights of the year where I actually got to stay up past my bedtime and watch absolutely incredible feats that you just don't see in a regular baseball game. And to be able to participate is a dream come true, and to be able to do it back to back, this is really special for me.
You know, Major League Baseball has gotten a lot of heat because a lot of their big names have bowed out of the All-Star game. I'm a Dodger fan. Mookie Betts said, he's not going to play this year. And you see some of the Astros sitting out. But the flip side, you got guys like Alonso who's buying in. He was fired up to be there. He was excited to be a part of this. It meant something to him. He won back-to-backs, and something tells me he's going to do it again next year. So you love to see that if you're baseball. It's something we as fans struggle with often with our favorite athletes, is that for whatever reason, we're naive in thinking that we care about the games more than they do. They've dedicated their lives. They've spent time in the gym. They've sacrificed. They've put everything into this. Clearly, they're paid handsomely for their efforts. So getting a nice check after you get blown out by 20 probably eases the pain, I would imagine. However, we want to see it as fans, and I think we're entitled to that. When we pay big money for tickets, when we buy jerseys, when we give our time, our presence is our presence as fans. Our presence is our currency. The fact that we're going to get a babysitter, get in the car, drive down to the stadium, grab some beers, make a night of it, put our emotions into it. That's giving of ourselves to fan. All we ask for in return is for these players to at least appear to care about it as much as we do. And you love to see that from Alonso last night. I do disagree with him, however, when he says he's the best power hitter in the game. I don't care that he's had over 100 home runs in his career in the home run derbies and he's a back-to-back champ. That's all fun and great. But I don't think Nate Robinson's the best dunker in the NBA because he won 3 dunk contests for the Knicks. I don't think that, Mike Conley was the best three-point shooter. He won the three-point contest, the horse competition. Excuse me, Mike Conley won the NBA quarantine horse competition. Does that make him the best shot maker in all of the NBA? Of course not. It's great to see him out there do it on a stage like that. It's great for him, too, to also engage the crowd after the disappointing showing of Ohtani last night. Everybody was tuned in to watch Ohtani do his thing, and when he left in the first round, it kind of reminded me like a golf tournament when Tiger doesn't make the cut. Or if you've ever had the privilege of being in the gallery to watch Tiger, when he hits a shot, it's like Moses parting the sea. Like the amount of energy that leaves the scene after he hits a shot is palpable. And then the other guy in the pairing is like, remember me? I'm over here hitting my ball too. So that was Pete Alonso last night as fans were heading for the exits when Ohtani was eliminated or going to the bathroom or grabbing a beer. There's just kind of some juice that went out of the stadium. Alonso stepped up and hit some bombs and made it a show again. So good for him.
I think I'm the best power hitter on the planet.
But he took it a little too far. That's okay. He's living in the moment. He kept saying that last night. And I understand that you have to have that irrational confidence as a professional athlete in order to perform. If you ask Dion Waiters if he's as good as Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, he'll say yes because he practiced against them in Oklahoma all those years. You have to have that irrational confidence in order to excel, to elevate yourself, your game. So I get that. He's a prisoner of the moment, though. He's not the best power hitter in the game, and his stats in the regular season will attest. I did like seeing Ohtani show out to an extent. He kind of struggled out of the gate. There's obviously a lot they can do as Major League Baseball with that event. I'd like to see more innovative camera work. Can we get something from behind home plate? Can we get something a little up above the catcher that we might not normally see in a major league game because it could interfere with a foul ball? Like, let's put some cameras in places where we've never seen them before. Let's take advantage of that. I don't think they did a good job with the camera work last night, just from a technical point of view. But it's easy to sit here and just pick apart what they did wrong, what you'd like to see more of. And instead, I wanted to take some time today. This is Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show, trying to track down Peter Rosenberg momentarily. Perhaps we'll get him in the next segment. But I wanted to spend today kind of celebrating what baseball can lean into and what makes baseball great in 2021. First of all, the atmosphere. To see those pine trees out in center field at Coors Field, that was so unique on television. The field dimensions in every park are different. And that's unique to baseball. You go to a football stadium, it looks like a spaceship, 100-yard field. You go to a basketball game, it looks like a shopping mall, 94 feet on the court. You go to a soccer game, 90 feet, whatever it is, the pitch. Hockey, a hockey rink, it's cold. I left my jacket in the car. That was a bad decision. So every kind of like the dimensions for every field or court in any other sport except for golf, are the same. And golf always leans into the golf course. The golf course becomes part of the story, the history, certain holes, the layout, the weather. And baseball's got that. So last night, I love when sporting events on television go from day to night. Feels epic. Feels like I'm watching a battle on the beaches of Normandy. It's like watching a gladiator compete as the sun's setting over Rome and death is in the air. When the Super Bowl's in the West Coast outside or the national championship game is on the West Coast outside, starts when the shadows are getting long and ends in the black of night. I love that. Feels epic. Also something that baseball can lean into where it has an advantage over other sports, frequency. You got a game every day, all summer long. The NFL, once a week, bye week, short week. Oh, they played Thursday. They don't play again till the next following Sunday. Baseball, you got games every single night. Team got blown out last night. You don't have to carry it around work for a week. Hey, guess what? They got another game tonight. College football is only like 11 games now, and three of them, if you're Nick Saban, are against junior varsity high school teams. The WNBA season is way too short. I understand these women have to go get a bag overseas, but May to October with a shutdown with the Olympics, they only play something like 40 games. It's not enough for me. Even the NBA, they play 82 in the regular season pre-COVID, but you don't know if your favorite guys are going to go. If I said, I'll bet you $100 Anthony Davis plays 72 games next year, would you feel confident in that bet? Probably not. But baseball, your favorite players are playing 150 nights a year, 145 nights a year. Just the frequency of it alone in an era of content of feeding the beast. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Twitch. I'm leaving out 10 I've never heard of because I'm washed. But the people who succeed on those platforms are the ones who constantly feed the beast. Baseball is giving us content every single night. And then a third place where baseball wins, and you saw elements of it last night, was nostalgia. Tapping into the rich history of the game, the iconic moments and players who have defined baseball for generations past. Clinton Yates was on the show earlier. He talked about this. In order to truly connect with baseball as a young person, you have to be afforded a lot of privilege, and I understand that in the year 2021. You have to have somebody who's older and trustworthy in your life explain to you the rules, take you to the ballpark, teach you the game. It's so nuanced. I know it comes down to see ball, hit ball, but there's so many rules and so many quirks and little things. It takes a strong family unit to engage a young person and support them in a passion for baseball. They have to have access to go out and play the game. You know, I joke, and I was lucky growing up just to be able to play baseball, but we played underneath the 59th Street Bridge in Manhattan where it was a ground rule double when debris fell off the bridge. Little plastic vials all around the outfield. They weren't action figures. You grow up quick playing Little League baseball in the heart of New York City. But I know that I'm privileged, and I came from a family that afforded me the opportunity to go explore my passions and what I was interested in. And that was what I'm very grateful for as I get older in my life, that I have great memories playing the game of baseball. Not every young person is able to do that. You need the equipment. You need the cleats. You need the glove. You need the batting glove. You need the glove. You need the bat. You need all of it. So I understand that it takes a lot to get a young person hooked on the game. And last night is baseball's olive branch to the young generation to do that, giving Alonso a big iced out chain when he wins the tournament, having players from the past so a young person could say, hey, Dad, who's that giving out the trophy? Hey, Mom, who's that? Well, that's Ken Griffey Jr. Let me sit you down and tell you about the kid. And Ken Griffey Sr., he played with his dad. And it's that passing of the baton from generation to generation. It's very special in baseball. And I feel like so much the conversation is focused on what's next? What's the next generation? Who are the new stars? The new stars aren't stars. They're talent. Cody Bellinger. Happy birthday, by the way, Cody Bellinger. Guys like Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Tatis. I think they're talent. I don't know yet if they're stars. I don't know if I'm captivated. I don't know if I'm emotionally connected to their wins and losses the way I am with athletes who I consider stars in other sports. But a celebration of the game that continues tonight, the All-Star Game, traditionally the Midsummer Classic, a highlight of the sports calendar, kind of feels like an afterthought in a lot of ways. So much going on right now in the world and with the NBA Finals NFL season is around the corner. I don't know if young people are really captivated by what's going to happen tonight in Denver, but hopefully Ohtani can do something memorable and that will add to his legend and his legacy, and he'll have an all-star moment that goes right up there with some of the great ones from the history of this game. So I will be watching tonight, but I will be watching with tempered expectations. I want to see an organic, iconic moment. I don't want to see something manufactured, and I want the real thing. All right, we're going to track down Peter Rosenberg next. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Put in for Rich, and right now we're joined by the only Washington football team, Pittsburgh Penguins, Boston Celtics, Maryland Terrapins fan on the planet. It's Peter Rosenberg. How are you, man? How did that happen?
Do you think I am literally the only? I guess you're probably right.
1,000%. I definitely think you're the only Penguins, Celtics, formerly Redskins, and Terps fan on the planet.
You know what? You're probably not wrong. By the way, you would have enjoyed yesterday. I can't even explain how it all happened, but you would have enjoyed yesterday that on our show, I found some old jerseys that I had in storage, and I basically told people, here's the time frame in which I got these jerseys. If you can guess all four players, I will give you all four authentic jerseys. And it was an impossible task that you would have really enjoyed.
Well, I feel like I might have had a puncher's chance because you could have thrown out a reference like, you know, Petey Crack wore this in this video. And you're like, oh, that's a Joe Namath. You know, like we forget you and I are of the age where the guys' throwback jerseys were like a huge fashion thing. But I always would love the deep cuts that guys would pick for their jerseys.
Well, that's the thing. These were deep cuts. But this is when people were wearing, do you remember in pre-throwback, it's when the deep cuts were of current players, but deep cuts.
Well, see, this is where you and I are kindred spirits, because I knew that the NBA back in the early 2000s didn't offer a wide selection of players, but you could Trojan horse it by making a custom jersey with the number and the player. So I have a Bonzi Wells in Portland. I've got a Chris Childs with my Knicks, because you couldn't go and get that at Modell's in New York. You had to go make it yourself. See, the things we fought for. We had to go to Canal Street to get DJ Clue tapes, Rosenberg. We had to fight for our music.
That's right. It was a different time. It was a very, very different time.
And now these kids get real late your new album on their phone. They get it on their TikTok. They get it on live stream. They get it everywhere across all platforms, wherever you consume music. The album is out. It's available. A real labor of love. How long was this thing in the work? Talk to me from conception to execution to distribution.
It wasn't actually that, you know, the actual process of once I got started to when it was done was not that bad. It was basically like, it was kind of like September 1 to May 1 was basically the whole, from the first time I sent out instrumentals to artists to get verses started, to having it all sort of back in and put together and the cover art done. Yeah, like 8 months, something like that. It was not, in a lot of ways, it was a labor of love, of course, that goes back years and years and years. But this actual project came together, you know, in not that much more than a half a year.
See, in hip-hop, people get it done. Yeah, it might be real late. Yeah, the concert says it starts at 10. They probably don't go on until 11:30. But they get it done. Hollywood time, that's a six-year process.
No, that's a great point. No, it was not like making a movie. We got this thing done for sure, and then got it turned around. My girlfriend took the picture for the cover art, which turned out beautifully. I love it, and now Real Late is streaming everywhere. And it's a pretty, if I do say so myself, a pretty solid body of work.
Absolutely, and it plays really well out here on the West Coast when you roll the windows down and the palm trees are out. So I
can't wait to do that.
Yes.
I can't wait to do that.
Ben Lyons here filling in for Rich Eisen. Peter Rosenberg joins the show. Peter, one of those people in my life who lives a 27-hour day. The rest of us confined to 24. And in those extra 3 hours, he somehow dedicates them once a week to his Washington football team, who Rich Eisen thinks is a real Super Bowl contender. Do you have those expectations for the Washington football team?
Oh, this is why Rich is on vacation. He needed some rest. Did he bump his head?
He's on a boat with Magic Johnson and LL Cool J, I think, taking photos of grilled fish in Portofino or whatever.
Well, okay, well, make sure he sleeps for some time during that, too, because it sounds like he needs some rest. I love that Rich feels that way. I think that here's the thing. I don't see how anyone in good conscience could say that a team that's quarterbacked by Ryan Fitzpatrick, that you know what you're going to get from that team. I don't think that's possible. So while we're really good on defense, I mean, everyone knows how special they are up front, and then they'll get back a healthy Landon Collins next year. and they'll be defensively, I have no doubt they will be a top five defense in football. That I have no doubt about. But what does that offense look like? I'm not, you know, they went out and they got Samuel from Carolina. They've added some pieces there, but the quarterback's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I love the guy. Everyone knows he's incredibly appealing and interesting and charismatic, and you want to watch him because you don't know what you're going to get. But that you don't know what you're going to get part is why I can't really say I know much more than I think they'll be a competitive football team.
Peter, I fondly remember going to Yankees games with my father, who was decked out in Red Sox gear and having entire subway cars chanting, "Lion sucks, Lion sucks," on our way to 161st Street in the Bronx. As a Washington football fan living in New York on morning radio, afternoon radio, as a Boston Celtics fan living in New York, do people in the streets let you know what time it is?
No. I have.
New York's gone soft.
New York is, with the exception of the bleacher creatures, like I wouldn't go sit in the bleachers wearing a Red Sox jersey, okay? I would not do that. But short of that, New York's not like that low class a town with how they treat the out of town fans. Like, it's not Philly. You know, Philly is a beast. I once got destroyed and attacked, like verbally attacked, because I was the dumb kid who wore a Celtics thing to a Sixers game that the Celtics weren't even playing in. I was that guy. I was young, though. And they let you know the second you touch down in Philly where you are. I got to tell you, Ben, I don't think New York is that sort of over the top about being mad at fans, particularly Washington football fans. I mean, we haven't won a ring in 30 years.
See, you keep it same sport when you wear the other jersey, you know, from your team to a game where they're not playing. My dad and I go to the Knick game, and he's like, "Hold on one second, let me go get my Red Sox jacket. I need to let everyone in the building know what time it is."
Okay, so, that's a lot.
And I need to somehow get my way down to Spike and let him see that I'm Red Sox out at the Knick game. That's the father that I grew up with. So I appreciate the out-of-town fandom thing. And you can do it a lot easier now. When you're kids growing up, how did you watch Boston Celtics games growing up in Maryland?
You did?
Yeah, you hope they're on TNT. I
was obsessed with Larry Bird, and every time that they popped up on national TV, which would usually be a Sunday, and at that stage in Larry's career, it was towards the end, we weren't particularly good and on TV a bunch. So, like, you know, you'd hope they'd make the playoffs, and you get to watch all the playoff games on TV. But besides that, I was watching Bullets games on WDCA Channel 20, and I would just watch the Bullets games and look forward to them playing the Celtics a couple times a year. But, oh, yeah, it was a completely different experience. It was reading the newspaper to see what the teams did. And, yeah, it wasn't even – not even like SportsCenter was a thing.
Always love a good Bullets reference. Shouts out to Michael Adams, who would go twice around the back, which I always thought was kind of slick.
Michael Adams was a very underrated player.
He would be the best Knicks point guard of the last 20 seasons if they had Michael Adams.
And yet no one talks about him.
Speaking of the Knicks, Rosenberg, I can't let you go without talking a little NBA Finals. Which ex-Knick would you rather see win a title, Langston Galloway or Bobby Portis?
Oh, I can honestly say I've spent no time thinking about that.
Well, now that you have a moment to have it sort of sit in, what do you think it would mean for the Knicks if they saw Langston Galloway, who was undrafted, I think has his jersey hanging in Westchester as the greatest player in the Westchester Knicks, to see him get an NBA title?
I can honestly say I don't think the average Knicks fan besides Ben Lyons would care. But it is yet another sad reminder of the state of your franchise, but a state that is now slightly better than it was before.
No, I just got a notification that they're in the trade conversations for Ben Simmons. So no, it's not. Peter, I appreciate you taking some time. The album Real Late, available now. You catch it everywhere. Best of luck to your Washington football team, dude.
Hey, I appreciate you, Ben. Thanks for having me, buddy.
The great Peter Rosenberg joins the show. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen. Yes, an ex-Knick will win an NBA championship in the next 10 days. The streak continues. Do you know that there's been an ex-Knick in the NBA Finals every single year of the NBA Finals since they began? Ex-Knicks stay in the NBA Finals. All right, coming up next, I think we're going to try and track down my buddy Scott Feinberg. He covers film for The Hollywood Reporter. He's over across the pond at the Cannes Film Festival. I want to hear about the new Wes Anderson film, talk about Spike over there at Cannes. We'll track down Scott next. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen. This is the Rich Eisen Show.